السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to get together and reflect on Sahifa Sajjadiyya. We thought that this is one of the areas that we have to work more. So several months ago we planned for having this program. Alhamdulillah, now the day of the conference has come. But this is just a beginning, and inshallah this should be followed by other meetings in different places, papers to be written, maybe series of Muharram or Ramadan lectures given on Sahifa Sajjadiyya and the du'as or ideas in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. Because as you have been listening and you already are aware, this is a great heritage, and sometimes I think because Allah has given us so much in the form of Quran and Nahjul Balagha and other things that we don't do justice to any of these works, you know, compared to the condition if we were just given one of these things. If we had just Sahifa Sajjadiyya and nothing else, then maybe we were appreciating more. Anyway, I am grateful also to the speakers we have had in the Arabic section and the English section, and I personally benefited from all the lectures I listened, and I thank very much for their preparation and for sharing their knowledge and result of their research with us. I want to make my speech very short because we are going to have also chance for a brief question and answer. What I wanted to share was something about the way Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam has classified the relation between God and human beings. You know, this is a very deep philosophical question, how we can think of our relation with God. One of the challenging questions for the philosophers is the relation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one and the world as the multiple, wahid and kathir. Even there is a story that someone claimed that he has relation with Imam Zaman, and he sent message to Imam Khomeini that, you know, I have access to Imam Zaman, you know, if you want, for example, to ask something from Imam Zaman or meet him. Then Imam Khomeini said, I have some question in my mind. If you have access to Imam Zaman, ask him to give you the answer. And one of the questions was this question that Imam had in his mind, and that person was not able. And that was the question about the relation between Wahid and Kathir, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the world. This is a very difficult question. And you see, philosophers like Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, even Muslim philosophers, whether it be Mashra'in or Ishraqiyin, if it is just their own philosophical discourse, they are not able to go that much forward. The concepts that they use, whether it be the prime mover, or I don't know, uncaused cause, or necessary being, all these things, absolute being, these are the concepts which are good and accurate, but they don't bring that intimacy that you need with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, there are people who are not deep in the way of talking about God or describing God, and they use concepts which are useful for describing a physical object or a human being. So this is also a problem of anthropomorphism. What we find in Sahif Sajjadiyya and other du'as and supplications from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is a kind of justice which has been shown to both sides to have that transcendent image of God, which would not bring God to the level, of a human being or a physical object, and at the same time to be able to have very intimate, personal relation with God. Maybe one reason for calling Sahif Sajjadiyya Ukhtul Quran, that, you know, in some books, you know, they say Ukhtul Quran is like a sister for the Quran, is because in the Quran we know how God speaks to us. But in Sahif and books like that, we learn how to speak to God. So if we didn't have that literature, today we had very difficult situation when we wanted to think of our relation with God, or to think of how I should speak to God, how to feel that God is very close to me, but at the same time, God is not one of us. He's everywhere without being limited to any place or to any context. There are different types of relations that some scholars have suggested we can find from Sahif Sajjadiyya that can apply to the relation of human beings with God. In some sources have mentioned 9 different types of relations between us and God. And I was thinking we can even make it 12. We can add to those 9, 3 more. I don't have time to explain those 12 relations. I just mentioned one of them. And that is the relation of a lover and the beloved. As also Sister Rebecca mentioned, the relation of mahabba, of hub, or mawadda. This is a relation which, unlike many other relations, is mutual. For example, we have the relation of the creator and the created. We have the relation of the worshipped and the worshipper, the sustainer and the sustained, the forgiving and the forgiven. This is not mutual. We cannot give sustenance to God. We cannot create God. We cannot forgive God. This is one way. But when it comes to mahabba, it's mutual. God loves us and we love Him. This mutuality of love is very well explained in Sahif Sajjadiyya, in different parts of Sahif Sajjadiyya. Without making the relation ambiguous, or the relation a relation of a person who would be satisfied with little progress. Transcendence of God is there, unlimited distance for moving forward is there, great ambitions are there, different stations are there, but at the same time, to emphasize on the fact that God is very close and God loves us and we love Him. Because if you don't manage these things properly, then either you can put people in the position of despair or put people in the position of becoming lazy and be just happy with the status quo. So this balance is very important. Or as one of our speakers said very nicely, there is no question of my arrogance, my pride. There is absolute humbleness, but at the same time, without underestimating the great capacity that we have for perfection. We don't want to be like, you know, some kind of malamati people that they really don't show enough of respect to human beings or to the wayfarer or to the salik. So I leave those other types of relations with God in somewhere else for future, inshallah. I thought maybe it's good to reflect on some of the sayings of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, in which this intimacy with God is explained. Already some of our speakers referred to some sentences from this munajat of Muridin, and alhamdulillah we had the tawfiq of having quick reflection on all these 15 munajat, and it's available online if you are interested in following this discussion about all the munajat. The munajat of those who are yearning for God, munajatul muridin, start with a beautiful explanation of the way, the path that we should embark on to reach God. Subhanaka ma adhyaqat turuq ala man lam takun dalila. May you be glorified. How narrow is the path for those that you have not guided? It's very narrow. For those who are not receiving guidance from God, it's very narrow path and very easy to miss in the turning points, to miss the direction and deviate if you are not receiving guidance from God. وَمَا أَوْضَحَ الْحَقَّ عِنْدَ مَنْ هَدَيْتَهُ سَبِيلًا. But how clear is the truth for those that you have guided? The comparison between the first sentence and the second sentence shows two aspects. Imam very eloquently summarized. So, if it was not a matter of making things very short, Imam should have said, for those that you have not guided, the path is narrow. For those who have been guided by you, it's wide. But Imam brings two elements very briefly. He says, for those that are not guided by you, the path is narrow. For those that you are guiding them, the path is clear. So it means that for those who are not guided, it's narrow and unclear. For those who are guided, it's wide and clear. So Imam merged these two points. So for mu'mineen who receive guidance from Allah, it's like a motorway. It's very wide and it's like midday. No ambiguity, no chance of losing the direction. For some people, it's like a very narrow side road in the darkness of the night. So this is the contrast. إِلَٰهِ فَسْلُكْ بِنَا سُبُلَ الْوُصُولِ إِلَيْكَ. As Brother Ghulam Abbas mentioned, although we have to move, we have to embark on the journey, but we ask Allah to put us on this journey. This shows that we have total trust in God. Not by taking responsibility away from us and say, everything is done by God. There is no jabr here. It's the politeness of the salik and his absolute trust in God, that for every step that he has to take, still he asks God to help him with taking that step. فَسْلُكْ بِنَا سبل الوصول إليك. Please take us to those ways and paths that make us able to reach you. And you know, subul is different from sirat, and these subul are different branches, different aspects of the main path, which is sirat mustaqim. Imam continues, unfortunately we don't have time, every beautiful sentence here has to be reflected, but I want to just mention 2-3 sentences because of shortage of time. Imam reaches this point. أسألك أن تجعلني من أوفرهم منك حظا. There is a very subtle point here. I myself for many years didn't take that point unless it was just maybe a few years ago that I paid attention to this subtle point here. I repeat the sentence. أسألك أن تجعلني من أوفرهم منك حظا. منك حظا. Imam says there are people that constantly knock your door, quickly come towards you. Make me one of them, but one of them who has greatest portion of gaining from you. أوفرهم منك حظا. What does a lover want? A person who is not a lover, like most of mu'mineen, they want forgiveness, they want rizq, they want house, they want job, they want husband, wife, children. They want these things, they want heaven. What does a lover want? A lover wants the beloved. A lover doesn't want anything from the beloved, just wants the beloved. And we know that there are many lovers for that beloved. What I want is to have maximum of that beloved for myself. أوفرهم منك حظا. They enjoy from you, they gain from you more than others. And this is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of God, that unlike any other beloved, He can be completely for you without depriving Himself from other lovers. It's the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah never divides Himself to the lovers and says, okay, I'm 5% for you, 5% for him, 5% for her. Allah is 100% there for every lover. But how much lovers can appreciate this, can gain this, that depends on their level. Some people may gain 100% of their capacity, not Allah's capacity, their capacity. Some people 90%. Imam Zainul Abidin says, I want to be the one who has gained more than anyone else from you. أوفرهم منك حظا وأعلاهم عندك منزلا. To be in the highest position. So there is humbleness, but there is also ambition. It's not that I say, okay, I just want to be one of them. You know, in one of these munajat, Imam alayhi salam says, oh Allah, I want to be in buhbuhat jananik. I want to be in the most central place in heaven. We shouldn't be just saying to Allah, as you know, some people say, I just want to be next to the shoes in the heaven. You know, when people come to mosque, so they put the shoes, they go into the mosque. So some people say, okay, even if I am next to the shoes in heaven, so just next to the entrance, it's enough for me. No, this is not enough.
Especially because if this is your aim, then you may end up with not even being in the heaven. If your aim is just to be at the level of entrance, then there is a great chance that even you may be falling outside. Imam says, "Fi buhbuhat al-jar." I want to be in the central position. I want to be in the highest position. I want to be in the nearest position. This ambition is very important at the same time that you are humble. And the solution is because we look at this as a gift and blessing from God, not my own achievement. When I look at myself, I don't even deserve to be in heaven. But when I look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity and grace, then I should be an ambitious person. Otherwise, this means that I have underestimated his generosity, or I have lack of interest in what he has. And this is not good for a lover to have limited interest in what the beloved has. وَأَجْزَلِهِمْ مِنْ وُدِّكَ قَسْمًا. I want to have the greatest portion of your love, whether it be my love for you or your love for me, because وُدِّكَ can be interpreted in both ways. وَأَفْضَلِهِمْ فِي مَعْرِفَتِكَ نَصِيبًا. Then Imam alayhi salam says, I wish we were able to experience what Imam says. Maybe inshallah you experience, maybe you pray for me that I can experience. Imam says, فَقَدْ انْقَطَعَتْ إِلَيْكَ هِمَّتِي. Oh Allah, I have no concern, no worry, no aim in my life except you. انقطعت إليك همتي. For me, nothing is a matter of concern apart you. This انقطاع, this is very important station. وانصرفت نحوك رغبتي. My eagerness is only directed towards you. I don't have any eagerness, any yearning, any interest in anything else. فَأَنْتَ لَا غَيْرُكَ مُرَادِي. You are the only one that I want, not anyone else. وَلَكَ لَا لِسَّوَاكَ سَحَرِي وَسُحَادِي. لَا لِسَّوَاكَ سَحَرِي وَسُحَادِي. It's only for you that I keep awake. Either I cannot go to sleep, or even if I go to sleep, I wake up quickly. A lover is the one who doesn't have heavy sleep. Either the lover cannot sleep, or even if he sleeps, he wakes up quickly. Because the memories of the beloved would not leave you even during the sleep. So either you are thinking or dreaming of your beloved. وَلِقَاءُكَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي. What brings comfort to my eyes, to my heart, is meeting you. وَوَصْلُكَ مُنَى نَفْسِي. And reaching you is the desire of my soul. وَإِلَيْكَ شَوْقِي. وَفِي مَحَبَّتِكَ وَلَهِي. As Sister Rebecca mentioned, my eagerness is towards you. My passionate love is about you, for you. وَإِلَى هَوَاكَ صَبَابَتِي. This is my last point, and this is my understanding of sababa. It's too much to be able to still have your ordinary life. Imam Zainul Abidin says, for you is my sababa. I am not able to have ordinary life. I cannot be like other people, because the pressure, the greatness of attraction of my beloved makes me unable to have that type of, you know, life that other people have, ordinary people have. This is the way Imam alayhi salam explains the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you see, if we had not received these type of descriptions and explanations of our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would be totally poor. When we wanted to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we wanted to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we miss Him and we want to say something, our hands would be totally empty if we didn't have these du'as and munajas. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this gift of Sahifi Sajjadi and other supplications, and we ask Allah to enable us to benefit more and share this with other lovers of God that alhamdulillah can be found in all different religious and traditions. We can find this love for God. Therefore, I think Sahifa Sajjadiyya is actually a good work for interface meetings, for transcultural discourse, because it's something that every person who has interest in God can relate to. It's not something for Shia, it's not even something for Muslims. Sahifa Sajjadiyya is something for all human beings, all servants of God. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.